And all, wherever you may be listening to this program, want to thank you for tuning in to the 6 Hours Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. It is an honor to be with you on this wonderful evening. I got some great music coming for you that you can enjoy, and a word of encouragement. Amen. Just seeing some food to think about in this motivational Thursday. Monday. Amen. This motivational Monday. So we want you to enjoy the music and the word that's coming. Hey, you may have some questions if you want to ask. At a later time, we'll open up the mics and let you ask your questions. Until then, just enjoy the program.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the 6 Eyes
Radio Network.
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. That's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
Amen. Do you value God's choice enough to wait? Amen. Truly, we must learn to value the choice that God has for us. Just to sit back and to wait on him. Amen. And truly, we want to learn how to wait on the Lord. We're going to be talking later on this evening. We're still in our series of what's influencing me. So we're going to be talking about valuing what we do and putting value on that. And so that's coming up later on. And again, we'll open up the mic. We want to say hello to all of you out there. Amen. We want to welcome those in the 901. God bless you. And welcome those in the 440 area code. God bless all of you. We always have some good participation from those in the 440 area code. God bless you. And we pray that you enjoy the program. We'll be back with testimony service in just a little bit.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young, and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
God, I'm on my knees again. God, I beg you, please, again, I need you. Lord, I need you. Walking down these desert roads, water for my thirsty soul, I need you. Yes, God, I need you. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of symphony in my ears, like holy water on my skin. Dead men walk, you save the sin. I want to know about being born again. I need you. Oh, Lord, I need you. Take me to the river side. Take me on the bad side. I need you. Oh, God, I need you. Your forgiveness.
Kingdom and Tasha Cobb Leonard. Amen. Holy Water. My goodness, that is a song. That was a song to just enjoy and worship the Lord. Hey, you are live on the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. Truly, we are blessed to be in your presence on this evening, and I'm hoping and praying that your day went well. And if by chance it didn't produce for you what it needed, hey, there's always another day. So prayerfully, your name will make the woke list tomorrow, and God will give you the strength to start it all over again. But you don't have to end the day on a bad note. We've already had some good music for you to cheer up your spirit, to lift up your soul. And that was one of them, Holy Water. Amen. That just made me just want to go into worship. Amen. But I love starting off the program with a testimony. Amen. Truly, I believe the Bible when it says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So what that means to me is there's merit in my testimony, that it's not the blood of Christ, but God give it a level of elevation that it supports the kingdom growth by putting it right up there next to it, because they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. So your testimony might encourage somebody to get saved. Your testimony may encourage someone to keep on keeping on. So, hey, there's a little song that I love to sing. that we sung back in the day when I was young in the old Sanctified Church of God, and we was singing that song. And somebody, there were many songs that we sung back in the day. Sometimes we would have service where that praise service throughout the testimony service, somebody would testify, and before they testify, they would sing a song. And that song has something to do with their testimony. And they'll get up and they'll testify to the glory of God. They may start off something, giving honor to God who's ahead of my life, thanking God for saving me, redeeming me, making me whole, filling me with the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm baptized, saved, and delivered. Amen. And they may have whatever, and they say, I just want to give God honor today because he did this for me or that for me. And they would just tell their testimony. But somebody would start off, I believe I testify while I have a chance. Oh, I believe I testify while I have a chance. I believe I testify while I have a chance. Oh, I may not have a chance anymore. And they say church testimony service is now open. And somebody would just get up and then sang a song and begin to testify about the goodness of God in their life. Hey, maybe there's a testimony in your life that you'd like to share tonight. Press the number 1 on your dial, and I see it light up on the board, and I will open up your mic and allow you to testify. Hey, matter of fact, we'll just do one better. We'll open up all the mics and give everybody an opportunity to give God a praise. If it's nothing else other than to say, I just want to say I thank God for giving me one more day. Hey, 3, 2, 1, it's your turn. God bless you. Anybody got a testimony? Anybody just want to tell God thank you? All the mics are now open. All the mics.
Hey, Pastor
Bonnie. Hi, Sister Lila. God bless you. I believe that's Sister Lila.
Yes,
amen.
It's Sister Lila.
All right. God bless you. How you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed to see another day.
All right. Yes, you are. Yes, we are. And knowing that is part of the victory, that we are blessed to see one more day. We are blessed to experience one more day. And I have to say experience because some people may not see it physically, but they can see it spiritually,
really
and they can experience it
wholeheartedly.
All right. I hear somebody talking. I wasn't sure if that was you trying to say something.
I just do a call.
Amen.
Just my girlfriend gets on her house phone, on her phone, Pastor Bonnie. Her area code number, the first 3 numbers, is 440-975.
Yeah.
That's Heather Rogers that's talking in the background on her phone. She didn't realize she didn't have her mic muted on her phone.
That's all. I just put her back on mute there. There it is. All right. You have a testimony you'd like to share before we go on any further?
I do have a praise. I have someone coming in to help me with the cleaning. She's only going to charge me $10 to do all the rooms in the apartment. She's a really close friend of mine. That's all I can say about it. She's a really close friend of mine.
Good. That's a blessing right there by itself.
I got another blessing. I want to thank all the listeners out there that have been praying for me to get this procedure done. I'm having it done at 7:30 a.m. sharp on Thursday morning, the 23rd of September.
All right. That's good. To God be the glory. You said Thursday morning, correct? this coming Thursday morning, correct?
Yes, this Thursday of this week.
All right, we're going to be praying for you during that time. Amen.
And also be praying for me on Friday the 24th. I'm going to be calling, I'm going to be getting a call from Community Action, and they're going to help me get an air conditioner for my apartment.
That's good, too. That's good. To God be the glory. Getting ready to go into the winter season. Say again, I'm sorry. My apologies.
I was hoping that I'm hoping they could help me get one before the end of the month.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're praying that those doors are open for you, that you will receive what you need. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Anyone else has a testimony? I see we have a new area code. Area code 216. God bless you. How you doing? And I believe I see Brother Six Eyes himself on the line. God bless you, sir. Good evening to you. Okay. Maybe his phone is muted from his end, or he's away from it just a moment. Amen. And we'll come back to Brother Six. Any other testimonies? Anybody like to share something good? Amen. On this evening.
I believe the new listener would like to say some special words, which is area code 440-975. I believe you may have muted her mic already, but I think she might want to say something. It's 440-975, Pastor Bonnet, is her first three numbers of her phone. And
I got you.
440-975.
I believe her call was dropped.
She should still be on the air.
Okay, I don't see it. All the mics are open.
975.
Yep, all the mics are open. Amen.
You have a mic on?
Yes, all the mics are open. So anyone like to give a testimony or just tell God thank you or have a prayer request, we give you this opportunity at this moment. I tell you what, we're going to play a song by Marvin Sapp called The Best in Me. And at the end of that, we'll come back and give everyone one more opportunity before we go further. Here is Marvin Sapp.
He saw the best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey!
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, yeah.
Everyone else
could only see.
Could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When Trump walks you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, yeah.
When everyone else around me, could only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to me. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am.
Does anybody know that tonight? Oh, he is mine, and I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am.
Help me sing it.
Yeah, girl. Can I ask y'all one question? The question is simply this. What did he see?
He saw the best.
I can't get no help of it here. Because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Myron, tell him one more time. What did he see?
He saw the best.
When mama said you would never be nothing. When aunties and uncles said that you'd never amount to anything. When daddy didn't come home anymore. He didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you and what did he see? What did he see?
He saw the best. The best.
What did he see?
The best.
I said, what did he see?
The best.
I said, what did he see?
The best.
Amen. He saw the best in me. Isn't it wonderful when everybody else can see the worst in you or think the worst about you? God sees the best in you. Amen. Because what he has in you is valuable. That goes along with my message on this evening. I'm not going to jump into it now. Hey, before we move on to the next track, if you got in there saying to say there's a testimony, we were looking for someone particular, you can press 1 on your phone and we'll open up your mic. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Brother Charles, are you with us at this moment? Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to keep right on moving. We're not going to delay anything. We got one more track before I come with the encouraging word for this evening. And it, again, it is by Bishop Marvin Sapp. Amen. A wonderful singer, a wonderful minister. Had the privilege of meeting him several times and just a good down-to-earth person. Amen. He has a track called Undefeated. Amen. Let us take time to listen to the words of this track. And following this track, I will be back with an encouraging word for this evening. Amen. And amen. Amen. Ah, I heard him. I heard him. I heard him. Ah, man, at the button, you right there, man. That's what you call finished in line, a photo finish, I guess you call it. How you doing this evening?
I'm blessed.
Amen, amen, amen. I always want to give you an opportunity to give a testimony just in case you're wanting one. We got this track called Undefeated by Marvin Sapp. I think it's a wonderful song. I think you'll enjoy it very, very much. Matter of fact, I want to dedicate it to you. Amen. And everyone that's trusting God. Remember, the Lord that we serve, he's undefeated. And because he's undefeated, you too can be undefeated. They may knock you down, but God is always going to give you strength to get back up and keep on going. Amen. 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 We'll come back to you, my site, Brother Six. Is there anything you'd like to share or say before we move on?
I made the woke list. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. That's it. That's it right there.
People infatuated with their own things. Some self-proclaim they're the gold. History provides that my God's the one. No losses, he's won the most. Undefeated champion, be defeated on your throne. Ruler, redeemer, savior of the world. Who else can take the sting of death as a man? Resist temptation like mine. You've proven your power and shown us the way, so we could win every time.
Undefeated by Marvin Sapp. God bless you. Hey, we're going to jump right into our program, our message for this evening. Once again, you are tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. On this evening, I want to continue all month long, this month of September, our emphasis are on the topic, what's influencing me? You know, a lot of times we want to know about others. But the truth of the matter is life is similar to a golf game. You can have a good drive and have a bad bounce. And so your good shot ended up being bad. You can have a bad shot and have a good bounce. And that bad shot ended up being good. But whatever the case is, you have to play the ball where it lies. And so learning to play where you are, learning to work through your pain, your struggle, whatever life has to offer you, there's opportunity for you there to make the next shot better. But in order to do that, you have to let go of the previous thought, the previous shot. You have to let that go and focus on what you're doing right then and right now in order to make this shot successful. And so many times we can get distracted in life because we focus on other things versus focusing on what we need to be focusing on at the moment. So what's influencing me? What's getting my attention? That is the overall topic. Today, if I can give kind of a subtopic topic, it's going to deal with time and money, you know, stuff we put value on, true value on. I value my time and I value my money. And so to me, if I'm going to spend my money or I'm going to spend my time doing something, it must have some type of value to me. Amen. So tonight I want to talk about what determines value. Amen. I think this is a very good conversational piece, and I definitely want to give you opportunity at some point to have some feedback. So take some notes. If you have some questions, jot them down so that you'll remember them. And at the end, we want to come back and give you a clear opportunity to ask your questions or to share your comments based on the things that I'm going to share at this time. Once again, tonight, I want to talk about what determines value. What determines value? Amen. Well, we know that in the marketplace, or the market value is based on simply supply and demand. And so since the marketplace, the value of something is based on the supply and the demand and the price that someone is willing to pay at the market, so if a company is performing poorly, the market value is likely to decline. Many and most people consider one or more of these nine different values called economic values when evaluating where to spend their money and time. So before they spend their money and their time, they may look at one of the nine different economic value points. These nine different value points are, and there's no particular order, but they are based on this. They are based on efficiency. They're based on speed, reliability, ease of use, flexibility, status, emotion, elastic, enthusiastic appeal, you know, the appearance of it and the overall cost. These nine different things make up what people consider whether or not to invest their time and money in. Again, that's how efficient it is, the speed, especially when you're trying to do internet service and phone service and different things of that nature. Notice that what they're talking about is speed. Oh, you can get this many gigabytes, this much, and so speed is something. You know, if you go to a fast food restaurant, you're thinking fast. So if you are in a fast food line and you have to wait 10 minutes, you're very upset and most likely won't return because they have now lost value for you because they are wasting your time because your time was value to you as well as your money. So their speed, reliability, you know, especially if you're ordering something, how well your order is made. Is it made the way you ordered it? You know, if you take your vehicle to a mechanic shop and they say they fixed it and 3 weeks later you have the same problem again and they want to charge you extra for not fixing it right the first time and try to find some other reason, then they have lost something with you. When ordering product from online, you're deciding what's easy to use. Flexibility, when looking for a daycare, you're looking at what's going to be flexible with your work schedule. The status of the thing, you know, when deciding a football team or basketball team, you know, football season is in now. And so you're trying to decide on your team. And so whether you're playing fantasy football or you're enjoying just the actual sport, you're looking at the status. You're seeing how well it has performed in the past, even to the point when you're buying, purchasing other things. You're looking to see what the status of it. What have other people say? You know, most time now when we get ready to, you have to make a reservation for a hotel or what have you, or go to a restaurant you haven't been to. You look online and you see how many stars they got on their report. So emotion, when you're looking for a vacation, you're looking and seeing how other people truly excited about what they experienced. The ecstatic appeal, amen. Especially if you're into cars, you want something that looks nice. You don't want to go and buy something that look like it's neat to go to the junkyard. Amen. And so you're looking for things that's going to be have that status appeal for you. Amen. Then you're looking at the cost. Okay, you're evaluating the cost. The same item is in three different other areas. You're looking at what's going to cost you less. You're trying to get gas for your car, and across the street is 10 cents less. Most likely, you're going to go across the street, especially since it's so close by. So these are the things that we consider. But people consider these things, too, when it relates to the church. When they come to your church facility, they're looking at, do you have stuff that's comfortable for children, especially if they have a family. They want to know, is there a program that's going to enhance their children's faith? You know, believe it or not, many times people start their evaluation of your church based on how it was in the parking lot. If they came to your service in the evening, was it well lit? When they came in the morning, was the parking lot clear, clean? You know, did it look like, oh, it was part of that organization care for it. They're paying attention to the grievance at the door. Are the grievance happy about what they're doing? Or are they just there? You know, did they really greet you? Did you feel that warmth coming in? When you use the restroom facilities, were they clean, orderly? Was it sufficient? Did it have soap and paper towels and sanitizer? All of these things matter when people are looking where to invest, throw their money, give their money, spend their time. We do that when deciding a gym. We look at what amenities there are there. Amen. And so many things determines our we use to determine value. You know, and so we as believers, we can affect the way people feel about God based on how we handle the things of God. Now, I got a little ahead of myself, so let me slow down. Go back to my notes. Amen. Amen. So we want to take a good look at each one of those at another time, because we'll spend the whole evening talking about each one. So we want to look at value from the three points of value. Amen. From those particular three points, because we don't want to take a good look at each one of those to see how we value the church and the things concerning God's kingdom today. I could stop here and just talk all about that, but I just want to keep on going so that we can talk about our value of the house of God today versus how we value things in comparison. Amen. It's amazing that people put more value on their country club than they put on their church. They put more value on their house than the house of God. So why is these things? Or what can cause these things? And so, but we need to take a good look at the word value itself. That word value, V-A-L-U-E, value. The three points are called, or the three points of value are called character value, work value, and personal value. Yes, I'll repeat that again. The three points of value are called character value, work value, and personal value. So allow me to give you a brief definition of these three points. Point number one, that is character value. Character values are the universal values that you need to exist as a good person. So character value. Do you have the positive attitude? Are you pleasant? Are you looking at the glass half full versus half empty? Character, we're talking about good characteristics. So character value is how people see you, how you see people, how you see things. Character, okay? Work value. Work values are the values that help you to find what you want in a job give you your job satisfaction. So when you're looking for something to yoke up with, because a job is a yoke in a sense that you have to join that organization to be part of that organization. And so why are you connecting yourself with that organization? And we should have that similar motto even when deciding what churches we should join and different things of that nature. Why, you know, why this one, why that, what lines up with me and them, what can I add to them, what about them can I learn and grow and develop. So what value are the values that help you to find what you want in a job and gives you job satisfaction? Nothing worse than going to a job that from the moment you leave your house heading there, you're frustrated. And to the moment you actually punch that clock and start heading home or wherever it is that you're heading after that. Nothing worse than that, to have that type of feeling. Amen. And the third step here, the third value point is personal value. Personal values are our values that help us to define what we want out of life. Amen. So your personal value is to help you to find what you want out of life. And it will assist you in being happy and fulfilled. Many things that trouble people is and one of the three things that I've been teaching for over 25 years, God gave me this, and that is that a person must know who they are, whose they are, and their purpose. And we're living in a day and time that many people just don't understand their purpose in life, their purpose for living. And these things can bring real stress over your mental and total all psyche, how you feel about life. And so having personal value is something that that you must establish yourself, because these are the things that give you personal satisfaction. And they help you to be happy and to have a fulfilled life. Nothing wrong, there's nothing worse than feeling like you're in a trap marriage, in a trap job, and now you got a trap bad attitude. And so we have to be mindful. These three value points are something for us to consider when placing real value on a thing. So again, those three are character value, work value, and personal value. Now, with character value, one must have commitment, loyalty, a positive attitude, and respect. I'm going to say that one more time. With character value, good character value, you must have commitment. You must have commitment, loyalty, positive attitude, and respect. Those four things there, we see. It's nothing worse than going to a restaurant and whether you're going through drive-through or inside to be served, and the person that's serving you act like they don't want to be there. And they're rushing you, and their job is to wait on you. So if you're waiting on me, why are you rushing me? It's one thing to say, well, allow me to give you some more time, and I'll be right back with you. Let me help the next person. Why you decide? But when you begin to have attitude with that, and people start asking you questions about the company, about what's good, and your responses are snappy, uninformed, as if you can care less, that transmit over to the people that's trying to value the establishment. Amazing, that can happen in the church too. Someone comes to be part of your church group, whether it's men's department, women's department, youth department, choir, outreach, whatever. And someone comes in new and you feel like they're about to take your place, so you treat them with extended pole, not allowing them to get close, not allowing them to learn what's needed for them to do the job well. These things come in and bring trouble. And that's what kind of world sometimes we seemly to be living in. The reason why troubles happen in neighborhoods is because character value is so overlooked. It's hard to find people truly committed, truly loyal, truly with a good positive attitude all the time, and to have just genuine respect for everybody, young, old, black, white, doesn't matter. They just respect you. So character value, once again, you must, if you're to have good character value, you must have commitment to what you're a part of. You must be loyal to what you're a part of. Must be loyalty. A positive attitude about what you're a part of. And you must respect what you are a part of. It would be wrong for me as a husband to respect your wife and disrespect my wife. That's just wrong. It don't matter how much your wife say, "Oh, he's just a nice man." And my wife say, "That joker don't even pull the chair up for me. He don't open the door. And now he want to do this for you?" That's disrespect. So character value is very, very important. And as believers, I believe that we should demonstrate good character value in all the aspects of our lives, all the different areas of our lives, whether at church, at the grocery store, at the mall, walking down the street, wherever, at our home, wherever we are, I believe that we are to demonstrate good character values. And how do we know whether or not our character has a good value? That is, ask the question. Am I committed to this? Have I shown loyalty to this? Do I have a positive attitude about this? And do I respect this? That makes the difference. Now, moving right along. Good work value. Again, we're dealing with that word value. And the pre-word before, the word before that is before value is work, good work. And we specify good because some people think because they showed up that they're entitled to something. Well, I'm here, Ava, you know. I need you more than here. I need you to be active. I need you to perform the duties that was required for you to do. It's not just good enough to show up. So to have good work values or having good work values, that's to be hands-on. In other words, you get involved with what's going on. You must have a public contact because most work involves in you coming in contact with other people at some form or another. Even if you're working in the field somewhere, there's a supplier that brings your supplier. There's people that picks up your haul. And so you must have good public contact. People must feel comfortable. They shouldn't have to feel like they're walking on eggshells just to work along with you. Amen. So hands-on, you must be physically active in what you're doing, public contact, prestige, and stability. And so these are good work values. You want to be on top of the things that are part of the job performance that you're doing. Finally, there's personal value. Personal value focus on family life. Amen. You know, I know we say in the church, you know, we always say God first, but a lot of people are not saving. And so they don't understand when you say God first, you're talking about your family, but God is the head of your family. So when you say I'm putting God first, my family, these are your top priorities of life. So I'm not going to let my job take me away from God, certainly not allow it to take me and keep me completely away from my family. That can be some of the biggest problems. Sometimes we're trying to provide, and in our effort to provide for our families, we may pick up extra jobs. We may work a second job, and, you know, there's only so many hours of the day. So if you're working an 8-hour job in the morning and an 8-hour job in the evening, you know, there's only 8 more hours left. And so at some point, you got to have travel time to get from one to the other. There's a lunch somewhere. So really that leaves you with very little sleep, which unfortunately leaves you with very little time each day to spend with your family. And so what you must do is the days that you don't work, you must make them days about family. Why? Because if you want your family to value you, then they must see that you value them, that when you give them their time, you don't allow work time to come in and jeopardize their time. So, again, that personal value, focus on family life. Some people, personal value, focus on popularity. You may not have a family. You may be single. You may be divorced. You may be trying to develop your career. So your popularity may be important to you. But for all of us, at some point, personal value need to have health. We need to be concerned about our health, because what would be the point of me developing a financial status of having $10 million in the bank and I got cancer because I smoked every day for 10 years while I was trying to make this money? I wasn't concerned about my health. So now that I done made it, now I can't really enjoy it because now I got to go to this doctor, that doctor, trying to get back healthy. You know, I didn't stretch. I didn't exercise. So now I'm on this pill and that pill and that pill because I didn't focus on health. See, so personal value is recognizing that it's important to have a good level of health. So I commend everyone that realize that there's you have a weight issue, and you realize that too much weight is not good on the body. And so if you're trying to reduce those weights, kudos to you, because now you are concerned with the health of your body. Amen. And we're going to get to why that's important. Amen. And the appearance. Oh, man. Personal value deals with appearance. It is important how people see you. It's important. You know, Jesus Christ asked the question to his disciple, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, he already told them who he was, but he wanted to know, hey, what are they saying about me? What is the consensus? Why? Because his character value was important. He showed his love and his compassion every way he went. His work value was important, that even on the Sabbath, if somebody needed to be healed, he healed them because that was more important to him than their misunderstanding of the Mosaic law. And he had personal value, that he never compromised the will of the Father for personal gain. He said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. So Jesus is our perfect example of these three viewpoints of value, on how to value oneself. Amen. Now, when you understand what your values are, then you are more able to determine what really drives you, what drives me, what motivates me. Why do I get out of bed in the morning? What causes me to want to do more? What encouraged me to go to work? What encouraged me to clean the house? What encouraged me to go to church? What encouraged me to go shopping? What encouraged me to iron my clothes or to wash my clothes? What things are motivating what I do? Amen? And so, again, when you understand your value, then you're more able to determine what really drives you. So again, I ask the question, what's influencing you? Now, to make this personal, you should say to yourself, what's influencing me? So ask yourself this question. Just stop for a moment and just say, what is influencing me? You know, there's something influencing us. You know, there's a level of influence in our lives somewhere. What is making me, what's causing me to make the decisions that I am making? Or why am I making these decisions? For what cause? For what benefit? So what's influencing me? Amen? So when you ask this question, the answer to this question helps bring clarity about what's really going on in your life. So when I answer that question, it helps me, Kenneth, to understand what's going on in his life. Kenneth, why did you start your own business? That's a good question. So I need an answer to that, you know. And so oftentimes we do things, but do we really question why we do what we do? Sometimes, because we don't question what we do, we make temporary decisions for permanent outcomes. So we have to be mindful. So now, when the right information comes, when you know better, you should do better, right? When you know better, you do better. When you know cook on high, then you don't keep cooking on high because you know you've been burning the food, so you know better. So you in life, that's what we're going through. We are in a situation where maybe this didn't work for us the first time. So what did we learn from it? And can we utilize what we learned to help us to be successful the next time? Again, Alexander Graham Bell, the maker of the creator of the light bulb, they say he failed nearly 1,000 times. Maybe some 800 and some odd times. And he said, I never failed once. He said, all I did was discover ways not to do it. So he had a positive attitude. That means his character values was way up. Amen. All right. The word value is regard to something to be held to desire. The importance of worth or usefulness of something. the importance of something or the usefulness of something, okay? That what determines a value of something. It is also a person's principle or standard of behavior. It's one's judgment of what's important in life. Now, the Bible gives us a sense of morality. One of the good things that the Bible teaches us is how to treat one another by giving us examples of how many times people have done stuff that was wrong against others. So we learn from the Bible a sense of good morality, what that really is. So God teaches us our morality. It teaches the true difference between right and wrong. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul makes the appeal to the believers to give themselves totally to God. When you love something or value something, usually that's where you spend your time, your money, and most of your energy. So this is what Paul said. Paul said this is over in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, I'm reading the King James. I probably should be reading the New Living, but I typed this up in the King James, so bear with me. The King James says, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. We see he says to, as he's writing to the believers in Rome, he says to them, I beseech you. That's a appeal. That's pretty much almost begging. I beg you, I plead with you. So he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So we know he's talking to believers. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. Your what? Bodies. Now this is how he wants us to present our physical body. A living sacrifice. Because the word sacrifice is something that they put to death. In giving to God. So he said, I still want you to put yourself to death, but I want you to stay alive. I want you to live. In other words, I want you to surrender your will over to his will, your life. So now you are a living sacrifice. And this is how you to be a living sacrifice. He just didn't leave it for chance. So that we wouldn't misunderstand, he says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's day to day. Holy. That word holy is to be separate, set apart from others, acceptable unto God. So that means to be set aside for the purpose use or the use for the explicit use of God. So he's telling us to present our bodies a living sacrifice for the use of God, which is our reasonable service. In other words, he says, it's not nothing hard to do. So many times people think it's hard to be saved. That's not true at all. It's actually very easy to be saved. It takes too much energy to lie to you today and remember the lie. So when I talk to you about that first lie, I got to remember the next lie that I tell you and remember the next lie so that you don't catch me in the previous lies. That's a lot of work. And so it's easier just to love you and tell you the truth. It's easier to be kind to you. Matter of fact, it takes more muscles in your face to frown than it is to smile. That's right. So you're overworking your facial muscles by frowning than you would if you would just smile. So again, the Apostle Paul says, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you will present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world. Now, we're in this world. We have to operate within this world system. So how can I explain this so that you will have the right understanding? He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay. So in the United States, we have embassies that are by other government, world governments. Those embassies there are for the ambassadors of other countries to live or to have safe haven while they're in our borders. So surrounding that embassy is a gate. And that gate represents their piece of land here in our state. And so, although they're in the United States, they are still to represent whatever values that their country represents. Same for us when we're in their country. We're to represent the value of the United States wherever we are. So you and I as born-again believers are now kingdom citizens. So we are ambassadors for Christ. So it is our job to always demonstrate his will wherever we go, because we represent him. So we can be in the United States, but we're still in the United States, represent the kingdom of heaven. And for the most part, that's where the average Christian miss it. That's where the average believers misunderstand their position in the kingdom. That we're so focused on trying to be peaceful with our neighbor till we forget that we're to represent God before our neighbors. And so when you look at the scripture again, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you will present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Why? Because now we are kingdom citizens. Jesus' message was repent. That means change mind. Change your thinking. For the kingdom of heaven is now. So the kingdom of God is for us to operate in now, not when we get to heaven. So we have to stop putting out, when I get to heaven, oh, what a day of rejoicing that would be, when we all see Jesus, we were saying, hey, shepherds. No. We're experiencing heaven now on earth because we're kingdom citizens. So it's our job to demonstrate God's rule, his reign, and his culture wherever we go because we are his citizens. So we're to represent him to the world. So when the world see us, they see him. How do we know we're supposed to do that? Because he said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's repentance. By the what? Renewing of your mind. That's repentance. That's true repentance. And so when you renew your mind, you don't do the old things that you used to do, but you behave in the manner in which bring glory or better glory to God, which highlights the kingdom through properly developing your character value, your work value. When Christians truly have God values first, then our work value should be something that's sought after. Our character value should be something that is demonstrated and seen by others, so that our personal value will cause us to have favor with people of the world. So many scriptures we can go into that, but we won't. Amen. So be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that you may do what? Prove. So many times people say, oh, I ain't got to prove nothing to nobody. Yeah, you do. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. Romans chapter 12, in context. I didn't take it out of context. It's still in the confound in which it was written. When we read verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but have a conjunction. And when we see that but, the previous things that were said, they have merit, but our focus now shifts to the things that's coming after, because they have higher importance. But be what? Transformed. I'm thinking about the Transformers, Megatron. Megatron is this robot. But when he transforms, he turns into this big diesel truck. And so, yeah, he may be a robot, but his transformation changes him into something else. He's still him. He's still Megatron. He's still, I'm sorry, I said Megatron. I meant Optimus Prime. So to all my Transformers fans out there, excuse me, I misspoke. I meant Optimus Prime, who transformed into a truck. Megatron transferred into a jet. So I don't want to offend y'all Transformer fans out there. Amen. And so Optimus Prime was the leader of the Autobots. When he transformed, he's still a leader. He's still what his maker made him, but he's more. He's able to do more. Now when he transforms, he's able to take on his heart, he's able to, his trailer is able to hook up to him. And anybody know about his trailer? His trailer opens up to a fortress of weapons. So when we are transformed, who knows what we are able to open up to? Amen. From the scenes of God. But this is how he said, be transformed by. So transformation by the renewing of your mind. That don't mean we have to go and do any damage to our bodies, put any piercing on us, tattoos of any kind, none of those things. But our process, our thought process, our way of thinking, our way of understanding, our way of behavior, that must change because we renew our mind frame. When your computer get a virus in it, you have to wipe it clean. It have to be rewritten. Programs have to be overwritten so that the new function will have the superior command, that it will do what's needed now. And so even when you're adding programs to your computer, it asks you, is it okay to overwrite? That means it's writing on something that was already written for a purpose. And so when we are transformed into God, into what God has called us to be, we're allowing our mindset to be overwritten from whatever environment we grew up in, or whatever we thought, and we're dependent upon the new writing What's that new writing? That new writing is the word of God, the word that gives us life. Amen. Amen. My time is slipping, so let me move past here. Amen. So be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, that you may what? Prove. So we're doing this to prove something. What we're proving? That good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Remember I said earlier about us demonstrating God's will. Amen. And so that will of God. So we are, so when we are transformed, when we allow our minds to be renewed to God's word, it proves what is acceptable and perfect will of God. That means God has a perfect plan for your life, and then he has things that he allows, because he still gives us free will. So you have a right to choose to obey or to disobey. And so some things that we do is in the area of disobedience, whether it's delayed or misunderstood. And so it falls in that acceptable realm, what God will accept. But there's no way, shape, or form God's perfect will for us. You know, I had kids early. My first son was born. I was 18, getting ready to come out of high school. That was not God's perfect will for me, because I was unmarried. But it was his acceptable will. It's what he allowed. And so some things happen to us based on what God has allowed. But it was not God's perfect plan, perfect will for us. And that thing didn't happen because I did not allow God to totally transform me. I still hung on to my own preconceived notions, in contrary to what I knew to be right, according to his word. So, but when we allow that transformation that God has for us to fully lock into our life, it'll prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen. Still in Romans, skip down to like verse 6 to 8. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. He that teaches on teaching, or he that exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. Don't make it complicated. You ain't got to make no big hoo-ah about your giving. You got to let everybody know that you gave. Amen. Do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, be diligent. Not mean, not cruel, but be faithful, be committed. He that showeth mercy, cheerful. And so just because you can give at somebody, it don't mean you have to. Verse 21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. All of this worketh our character. I could have read all of chapter 12, but we would have still been here. And so moving on, be not overcome with evil. These are not just good suggestions. These are really words to live by. Be not overcome with evil. That means evil deeds can overcome you if you give in to them. but overcome evil with good. So just because somebody disliked you, talked about you, mishandled you, it does not mean that you need to maliciously go after them. Because his word tells us to go after them or to overcome them, to have victory over them, to being good. See, what makes me really win over the enemy is when they done everything to turn my smile into a frown. And when they see me next, I'm still smiling. That means all their energy and all their effort went to nothing. And see, so we must value that smile to the point that we don't lose it. See, how important is your smile to you? See, so your smile needs to be like 10 $100 bills in your pocket. You don't mind giving it out for the things that you are trying to purchase. But you surely is not going to just take it out your pocket and lay it down for anyone just to pick it up. Because you know it has worth. Your smile means something. Use it. It may make the difference, not just in your life, but in the life of others. And you never know. And so it's so important for us to utilize those gifts. I read verse 6, 7, and 8 of chapter 12 because God gives us different gifts. And those different gifts makes us each unique. But because he knows who we are and what we can handle and what we can do, he's already placed value in us to utilize those gifts. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God said this to Jeremiah, and it applies to us. He said, Jeremiah, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now, we can teach on another principle concerning this, but we're going to move on because today we're talking about value. So he's saying, before I formed you, I knew thee. In other words, while without your mother and father trying to contemplate having you, whether on purpose or by incident, not accident, but incident, whether on purpose or by incident, God said, I purpose you. In other words, he knew what they was going to do. So he planned for you to be born in the midst of their incident or their purpose. And said, before I formed thee, I knew thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, excuse me, I knew thee. And before thou comest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. That word sanctification is set apart for usage. Remember we said earlier, I've been sanctified, that sanctified is that's that set aside. That's what we do with a sacrifice. And so here it is, we're in that same vein. Here's what God talking to Jeremiah saying. He said, in the womb, before thou came out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee. That's license, permission, the go ahead. To thee a prophet unto the nation. Then this is what Jeremiah responded. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. You may be young in your faith. You may be not strong in your faith. And your response to God when he tells you to do great things is, I'm a child. I'm not big enough. And sometimes that's what we think because we don't know the value of what's really in us. We don't know our potential or what we can be. He says, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. In other words, don't worry about your insufficiencies, because in your weakness, I'm still strong. And in your strength, I'm stronger. So don't worry about, stop saying that. In other words, don't be immature. Don't remain there, because you have work to do. So you tell them that now you can't stay inexperienced. I know witnessing may seem frightful, or sharing your testimony of salvation might seem a little odd, but you need to do this, and don't worry about them. Don't fear their faces. Don't worry about what they're going to say. So he says, say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So God is going with us to add that value to us. He's our bonus. Amen. Amen. And so because, you can order certain things online, and they say, if you order here, you're going to get this and this and this and this, and they make the deal sweeter. And you go in the store and you see the same thing, but you can only get one pan for the same price, where if you order online, you get all five, six, and you get so much more when you use the original. When you come through the manufacturer, God is our manufacturer. He's our original. He adds more to us. Amen. So Paul, talking to us in 1 Corinthians, deals with our level of maturity. So we're not to remain children in faith, although we to have the childlike faith in accepting what Christ says. In other words, he said it, that I believe it, amen. God said it, that settles it, amen. God said it, that settles it, amen. I'm going to work on my belief. I'm going to work on my emotion that may be causing me hindrance. But if God said it, that settles it. The words of God are yea and amen. But over in 1 Corinthians, we see Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. I got 10 more minutes. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. That word put away is an action that we must take to let go of the world. That's what it means not to be conformed to this world. The world belongs to our daddy. And so since it belongs to our daddy, we've been called to this inheritance to take up ownership. So I can't keep looking only for the pastor to do, or only for the bishop to do. Me as the teacher, me as the prophet, me as whatever portion of ministry that I am in, wherever you're planted, God has called you to maturity. You may be a seed today, but it is your job as a seed to press past the hard ground so that you may grow and bloom and bear forth or bring forth much fruit into the earth. You don't know what kind of seed you are today, but in time, your seed must develop and prove the good and acceptable will of God for your life. Amen. One thing that parents begin to teach their children is how to value money and the things money buy or cannot buy. It is very important that we teach this distinction so that we do not value things more than people, because people can put more value, a person can put more value in their automobile than spending time with their family. They can put more value in their career than loving the ones that need their love today. And it happens all the time. So, but the question is, how do we value God? We see how much God values us. John 3:16 states, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So that shows some great commitment, because it also tells us later on, we see scripture tells us that while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. So this means God understand the value of what he put in us. Therefore, we must understand the value within ourselves. That's my message for this evening. I want to say thank you. God bless you. I love you with the love of Christ. The lines are open for anyone that may have a comment. Thank you so very much. I tried to speed it up, but I really got into it. Amen. Are there any questions? Anybody have any questions or comments concerning placing value in oneself on this evening? Amen. Well, with that being said, I again want to say thank you for allowing me to have this opportunity to share with you this topic on this evening. I pray that it encourages you. At some point, you may want to go back and listen to it, the message again with a friend or family member that may be having hard times in valuing who they are as a person. Maybe something that was said this evening might be a tool that they can use to come out of their low self-esteem and embrace who God has for them. And so there's so much more that I could add to this. It's long enough as it was, but I pray that the information I gave today was sufficient to encourage you to keep on keeping on. And so once again, God bless you. God keep you. And, man, I'm looking forward just to see you on our program another time. Hey, we thank you. If you'd like to be a part of any of all the programming that the Six Eyes Network have, there's many things going on Sundays at 1 p.m. We have the Six Eyes Gospel Show on Monday at 9 p.m. We have the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. On Tuesdays at 8 p.m., we have the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., we have the Six Eyes Gospel Wednesday Night Bible Study. You want to be a part of that? The best way to get information about the Bible is to be a part of programming that's teaching it line upon line. Amen. On Thursday at 9 p.m., it is the Jumbo Braille program on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And on Friday, We have the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. And so you encourage Eric at that, and that's at 9 p.m. Amen. And Saturday is our open programming. Different things are going on with that. And so we want to say thank you. You can make a contribution to any of all of these programs at your discretion, should you love to do that. We have the PayPal and Cash App are two of the forms in which you may contribute. If you are utilizing the PayPal platform, then you will simply type in the email address 6i6@gmail.com. That is S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6@gmail.com. And then you'll put in whatever amount that you are donating. And whatever it is, it's greatly appreciated. If you're utilizing the Cash App platform, then on the Cash App, you simply put in $6i24@, and that is $SIXEYES, the digit number 2 and the digit number 4, and that is the Cash App platform. Once again, a Cash App is the $SIXEYES, the digit number 2, the digit number 4, and whatever amount that you give is greatly appreciated. Once again, whether you're in the States or in some of the countries that we're in throughout the world, we want to say thank you for joining us. We love you with the love of Christ, and we pray that not only is Christ your Savior, but allow him to be your Lord. God bless you. God keep you. Until next time, have a wonderful and good evening. God bless. God bless you, Brother Charles. God bless you, Wolfgang, and all those, Emily, Lila, everyone else that's been on the program tonight. God bless each of you. Love you all. See you all next time. Have a wonderful evening and good night. Oh,
Savior of my soul.